This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 28 of Tatooine Sons. If you haven't heard yet, Maul is back. We're going to break down what we think he's been doing between the formation of the Galactic Empire and his reappearance in Solo. Next, tickets are on sale for Star Wars Celebration 2019, and 5-day tickets are already sold out. What's that mean for Tatooine Sons? And finally, we wonder what would have happened if Han actually succeeded in helping Beckett get the coaxium off of Vandor 1. One man couldn't have done this alone. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans! This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achucha Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And at this point, it's getting more and more difficult to identify who is a Star Wars fan and who isn't.
Absolutely.
True.
Yeah.
Very true. And of course, you can have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Good.
Okay.
Okay? Just okay, BB Nate?
Tired.
Tired? Why are you tired?
Didn't sleep last night.
Didn't sleep last night. That's always disappointing when you expect to have sweet dreams and you instead just toss and turn all night. What about you, Sam?
I'm fine. I mean, I'm a little tired from work, but
yeah?
Otherwise I'm...
Another busy week of nose to the grindstone, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How's Chick-fil-A going for you?
Fine. Yeah, fine.
That's good.
It's always busy.
That's good.
Always.
It's been an interesting week in Star Wars fandom, hasn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word interesting, but yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, that's kind of what you were alluding to in your Achuta opening today. So with that whole Kelly Marie Tran having to give up on, delete her face, or excuse me, her, I don't know where.
All her social media.
So. All her social media, but I think it was primarily her Instagram account. Because people are hating on her and treating her terribly and actually saying very sexist, bigoted, and even racist things against her. What do you guys think about all this fandom stuff that's going on and how that happens? And why do you think that Star Wars fandom has this problem? Because apparently it's newer to us. I'll explain in a minute with that, but as far as fandom goes, I guess it's been going on all the way back to the release of the special editions. So
yeah. I think it's first of all because it's The Last Jedi is kind of when it started. The backlash happened about it, and then people started hating on just everything about that. And with Kelly Marie Tran, that being her first actually big movie, it kind of, people started to hate on her because of that.
Yeah, her character wasn't as well-liked across the board in The Last Jedi. And one of the big things that some people have suggested was that that whole sequence with Canto Bight and everything was pointless. And then there's the kiss with Finn at the end. But Sam, do you think it's at all justified for people to kind of go over the top like they are right now with the way that they're treating Kelly Marie Tran? Or
no, regardless of whether you like the character or not. If you hate the character, that's your choice, but there's no reason that you should bash or hate on the actor or actress. That's just uncalled for, and it's just not right.
I'm trying to figure out a way to take the devil's advocate, and I think everybody that follows our podcast and follows us on Twitter and Facebook and other social media they know that my position on this and our position as a podcast and just as Star Wars fans is that this is unacceptable behavior. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to understand the logic behind it. I'm trying to understand where people are coming from. And I guess there's, you know, I wonder, I guess, could it come from a place of love for the Star Wars saga so much that if they dislike a character or dislike a storyline with it, that they cannot emotionally handle it in a reasonable way? Is that where this is coming from? Or is it just coming from hate and just selfishness? Maybe they think that, you know, Kelly Marie Tran made millions of dollars and is famous as a result of playing this character. Toughen it up, you know, put on your, what, you know, what would mom say? She'd say something like, put on your big girl panties and you know, and get over it. I don't think she'd say that about this situation. In fact, I know she wouldn't. But do you think that, you know, maybe Nate, do you feel like maybe fans... not fans, but the stars that get all upset, Rian Johnson, who's kind of reacted against this, Kelly Marie Tran deleting her accounts. You know, this happened after Force Awakens as well with Daisy Ridley. She's not on social media anymore for the exact same reason this happened with her, because some people didn't like the movie and didn't like her character. Do you think that these stars and these celebrities that are making millions of dollars off of movies and stories, do you think they should just, you know, get over it and move on instead of... or do you feel like that maybe they have a right to be upset and right to say something about this?
First of all, I feel like it's not right for them to do that, and they shouldn't have
to right get, for who to do what?
Like the fans to hate because, and I don't think that they should get over it, and I don't think that she overreacted with deleting her Instagram. She did something about it, is what she did. She decided not to deal with it. She decided to do something which is a lot more than some of us would do. But I think that she made the right call and that she shouldn't have done anything better. So,
yeah, I don't think that that was an overreaction by any stretch of the imagination. She has feelings, just like everyone else. They got hurt. She has a right to be upset, regardless of whether she made millions of dollars with it. That doesn't matter in this circumstance. She's a human being with feelings, just like everyone else. There's no need for her to get treated like that. So her reaction is... perfectly justified.
Yeah, I think you guys are right. And what I would say is that there's a point when, you know, you have one or two incidences or a few incidents of these types of things happening. Yeah. You can overlook it. You can brush it off and ignore it, basing it on these people are just ignorant and, you know, they don't know any better, or they're just angry, bitter people that have problems and we don't know what's going on in their life. But there seems to have been, when it comes to Daisy Ridley at The Force Awakens, when it comes to Kelly Marie Tran, Rian Johnson with The Last Jedi, there seems to be this sort of snowball effect where a few people start these comments and start saying these things, and then other people pile on with it. And they think that because they hear... or see or read or whatever these comments and people are getting away with it, that nobody cares and it's fine for that, for other people to do it. And then it becomes this thing which has gotten completely out of control. And that's why, as far as a podcast goes, I know this is a heavy opening to a podcast and we're going to have a lot of fun here going forward, but this is something that's dominating Star Wars fandom right now. And I think it's important for us to at least speak into it. You know, there's the position of some that no one from Disney, no one from Lucasfilm, no one from these movies. There's other podcasts out there. I won't mention them that are criticizing authors and directors for fighting back against this with the fans. And they think that those people should never address these issues. The reason we have so much hate and bigotry and just ridiculous things being said in social media about things like a movie is because people aren't being called out for it. Mm-hmm. And somebody needs to take a stand against it. And so while we would never call out fans directly, we're never going to, you know, if we dislike something in a movie, we dislike something in Star Wars, we'll say it and we'll be kind about it and respectful and we'll talk about the content itself and will, from a mature perspective, address the issues that we have. We're never going to attack a single individual. We're never going to attack people for what they think about it. But at the same time, if somebody starts posting on our content, when it comes to like our Twitter feed or reacting, replying to stuff on our Twitter feed, on Facebook, on our comment pages, on comment sections on our podcast, where they're saying hateful and bigoted things, or they're saying things that are just inappropriate, personally attacking a director, an author, a star, an executive like Kathleen Kennedy, we're not going to ignore it. We're going to call them out for it, and we're going to tell them that that's not acceptable. And if they continue to do it, we're going to block them. Because we aren't going to have that as part of what we do. Mm-hmm. And we're also working with a lot of Twitter accounts that are out there. Steel Wars, Jason Ward, Star Wars Explained. A lot of these guys are out there on Twitter, and we're working with them as well to amp up the volume on positivity on Star Wars when it comes to social media. And there's a hashtag that we're using on just about everything we tweet out right now called Force Out Hate. We're not going to let hate dominate social media when it comes to Star Wars anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys realize this, but this goes all the way back to the way that they handled the special editions with George Lucas.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When George Lucas released it, TV, comedy shows like Saturday Night Live or shows like that. And I don't think YouTube was around then. Maybe it was. No, I don't think it was. So YouTube wasn't around then, but other stuff, they started talking about how George Lucas raped our childhood and somebody should take him. If I could go by, somebody posted on something or a letter or whatever, if I could go back in time, I'd shoot and kill George Lucas before he had a chance to mess up the original trilogy with it. And so this is a real problem in Star Wars fandom. And we're hoping that if you're a listener to this podcast, again, it's a heavy opening to the show, and we're going to move on here in just a second. But we're hoping that you'll join with us to raise the volume of positivity on Star Wars when it comes to social media and things. Join with us to defend stars, to defend Kathleen Kennedy as the president of Lucasfilm, defend directors like Rian Johnson, of course, people like Kelly Marie Tran and Daisy Ridley. We're going to come alongside them, and we're not going to let people say bigoted, hateful, ridiculous things about them anymore without somebody telling people that this is not appropriate. And the reason that it's important for me to address this is because I'm a dad, and I can't imagine, Kelly Marie Tran is a daughter, and Daisy Ridley's a daughter, and Rian Johnson's a Colorado boy that grew up in the same state as I did at the same time, about the same age as I am, playing with the Star Wars figures in his backyard like I did, just up the road from where I lived. And he's got a mom and dad as well. And these are people's children that they're speaking about when they say these hateful things. And I feel like it's important for us to talk it through. So, BB Nate, anything you want to say?
We really need to fix up the all the hate that's going around and get some positivity in this.
All right. Sam, anything else on that?
Yeah, this needs to be fixed, this problem. Otherwise, and I'm sure this has already started to happen, we're going to start having an even more dramatic divide between fans. It already exists, and I can just feel it, but we need to fix this before it gets too bad and we have a, for lack of a better term, civil war between Star Wars fans.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It feels like it.
It is a movie. That's the point I'm making. It's a movie. It's not that big a deal. Your life should not be any different tomorrow if you liked The Last Jedi or you didn't.
Right.
If you liked Rose or you didn't. If you liked Solo or you didn't. If it's so important to you that you're willing to say hateful things about another human being over a movie, over anything from my perspective, but especially over something like a movie, you should never say anything like what people have been saying to Rian Johnson, Kathleen Kennedy, Kelly Marie Tran, Daisy Ridley. If a movie is that intense for you, then you need to get the kind of help that is going to help you learn how to cope with these emotions in a healthy way, because this is very unhealthy. And so, all right, we'll move on. I think
on
that note, let's talk about last week's podcast poll of the week. It's official. Solo isn't a blockbuster. No. Disney and Lucasfilm had hoped it would be. It's brought in right now up to about $275 million worldwide. And so let's find out what you guys think has happened. It's time for the results from last week's podcast poll of the week.
Turbis!
Right, Turbis! So yeah. Woo-hoo. That's something positive.
Yeah.
Turbis!
Although he still hasn't been canonized.
Nope.
Should we go yell at Rian Johnson and be able to say hateful things about it?
No, we shouldn't.
No, you're right.
It's a stupid movie.
It's a little bird, fake bird from a movie.
Right. So here's what the podcast poll of the week was last week. It says, why is Solo movie underperforming at the box office? It was a pretty popular poll. It had 446 poll votes. That's a pretty good one for us with it. It's really interesting how this played out. So you had 17% there were four choices on the podcast poll. So the first choice was it was a bad time of the year. Second choice was it was too soon after The Last Jedi. Third choice was the boycott Solo movement. And the fourth choice was other with your comments below. By the way, we have like 40-some comments on our poll, which is really great for us. So thank you guys that if you're listening to this podcast and you've commented on our Twitter poll last week, thank you guys. I read through all of those in preparation for today's podcast. I picked out three that I thought were especially interesting. We'll talk about those in a minute. 70% of you voted the boycott Solo movement was a part of it. So these were people that felt like The Last Jedi wasn't very good. People shouldn't go to the movie theater. It's kind of a way of punishing Disney, punishing Lucasfilm. 70% of the people that voted in this thought it had something to do with the boycott Solo movement on that. Do you guys think it has at least some of an impact on that, BB Nate?
Yes, I think a little bit. Because when people get a boycott going, at least in Star Wars, it's a rare thing. Hmm. And so when it happens and that and it gets this big, then it really means something and it's going to hurt. And so,
yeah, it was big enough that people were aware of it and talking about it, especially on social media. So that's a good point. What about you, Samuel?
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, you heard me say this last week, but mine was kind of a combination of a few things. Like it's saying that it was too close to The Last Jedi in the backlash because of it. I think that's why I messed up. Because I'm not necessarily... I think it was partially because it was so quick we had another Star Wars movie, but also that backlash from it. So,
well, 17% of the people thought it had to do with the boycott Solo movement. Another 17% went with the other option and then commented below. Like I said, we had about 40, which is right about 17% of the votes on that. So I guess it's about 10% that vote actually commented on it, but that's cool. And then 31% thought it was a bad time of the year. So Memorial Day weekend, usually been coming out in December. This one came out in May. And so they felt like that time of year was bad. Maybe it had something to do with Avengers, Infinity War, and Deadpool that were out right before it. Very similar demographic for Avengers movies, Marvel storylines, that
and
kind
Star
of stuff.
Wars,
on that. And then 35%. Which one? Feel like it was just too soon after The Last Jedi. And you kind of mentioned that, Samuel. You talked a little bit about that. What do you think about that? BB Nate, do you think that it was something to do with that?
Well, yes, because like I kept saying, it was the backlash of The Last Jedi that really changed Star Wars fandom for a good while. And that's what it's going to be for a long time. And so it changed, and then the boycott Solo movement started to get going, and then they released it way too soon after The Last Jedi backlash just finished, and people still had it in their minds about it's still there, and I didn't like The Last Jedi still, and so
I'm not gonna like this movie.
Yeah, and different actor and all that type of stuff. So there was a lot of factors that went into it, but yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that it has a lot more to do with not coming out in May as the issue. I do think that Avengers and Deadpool hurt the box office with it because movies have gotten more expensive. You know, at our movie theater that's just literally a mile from our house, it's great. We love this movie theater. Great, recliner seats and fancy foods and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is an average tickets $15 for that. So people can't go to movies like they used to when they were $6, $4, $8, that kind of thing. We're paying twice as much to go to movies right now. And so you have to pick and choose a little bit. And so I think that that's hurting Solo, because Avengers was such a big movie with all of those, you know, characters coming together in it, and it came out first. I think that's why Disney, I think I mentioned this on last podcast, I think that's why Disney moved it from May the 4th to December, or to April 27th, so it was the week earlier, to try to get a little space between Avengers and Solo, but I don't think they got enough space. I think that hurt more than it coming out in May. I don't think that it coming out so soon after The Last Jedi is the biggest issue. I think it was the competition with Avengers and Deadpool and things like that. So
cool.
That's my thought. Let's see what you guys thought. So Patrick Covey, C-O-V-E-Y, his Twitter handle is at Gannon136. He's with Star Wars News Net, the Resistance broadcast. He's a writer for them. Yeah, he's a great guy. He commented on it. I love Patrick's insight on Twitter. He's awesome. This is what he said. It's a mixture of a lot of things, which is basically what you guys are saying as well. It was soon after The Last Jedi and not a very good money-making season, starting the summer blockbuster box office, and you had to go up against Infinity War and Deadpool 2. Infinity War was 10 years of build-up with several films a year coming into it. That's true. The climax of a story you've been waiting for a decade for, versus Solo, which you know he's going to live.
Yeah,
you know Chewie's going to get through,
and then all the other guys basically.
Yeah, and then most of them are going to die that you haven't heard of before, so they're not. So that's a good point. So, what do you guys think about what Patrick had to say? Anything you inside in that was good?
Yeah, no, I think that those are all very valid points. I totally agree with that. Yeah,
yeah, I love the way he talked about Infinity War. All right, then we've got somebody that's been only following us for a few weeks, I think, on Twitter at Tampa Movie Guy. That's his Twitter handle.
Cool name.
Yeah, it's a great. I bet you he's from Tampa.
What gives you that idea?
I don't know. And you know how much you know it's coming.
No,
oh, they're looking at me right now. Oh, yeah. Hold on.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go. You know how much corn is in Tampa Bay? Somebody tell me.
A buccaneer.
Yeah. A buccaneer.
Impressive. Every word in that sense was wrong.
Well, you know, I'll go with Luke if you... Grumpy Luke there. It wasn't that wrong. It just
maybe. It was Star Wars fan Luke.
Jeez. Yeah, okay. Tampa movie guy. Trying to get it a little light after that opening segment.
Yeah, exactly.
Tampa movie guy. I heard a lot of people say this movie just wasn't necessary. A prequel requiring the replacement of the actor for one of the most iconic characters of all time. I think people just decided it wasn't for them. For the record, I loved this movie. So... BB Nate, what do you think about Tampa Movie Guy's comments there?
Very true. I did hear that people say the movie wasn't necessary, it was just to make cash, and really, after Infinity War, Disney doesn't need any more cash like that.
Shouldn't. Well,
they lost money on this, by the way.
Yes.
They spent, like, when you take into account all the marketing and stuff, I think it's like $350. So far, they haven't even made back their money after 2 weekends, because it's the most expensive Star Wars movie ever. Because they basically reshot 80% of the movie with Ron Howard. Right. And then think about this. Michael K. Williams was the original Dryden boss.
Yeah, and then they had to pay
him again. So when they had to do the reshoots, they had to, A, go through the production expenses of reshooting the entire movie.
Yeah.
B, hot pay Ron Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And when they already had to pay Lord Miller.
Yeah.
And then they had to hire Paul Bettany. As a contract, they already had to pay Michael K. Williams to be Dryden Voss. Then they had to pay Paul Bettany to play Dryden Voss as they reshot the entire movie. And I'm sure that, you know, even the other stars had probably got paid a little bit more because of all the extra work. So the reality is, you can't really expect them to have made a lot of money on this movie. So interesting. What did you think about Tampa Movie Guy's comment there, Samuel the Hutt?
I'd never heard this viewpoint before.
That it wasn't a movie that wasn't necessary.
Yeah, I mean, the way he points it out, I can see that, but it's Star Wars, so you know, it's a Star Wars movie, so it's always necessary. Exactly. You know, if they're coming out with a new Star Wars movie, it's necessary.
It's true.
What's that, Han Solo? It sounds like Han Solo agrees with you.
It's Solo.
On that, yeah.
Absolutely. All right.
All right. And then the last comment we'll go through today was Star Wars Card Collector. So I'm going to make sure I get your Twitter handle spelled out correctly. So it's at Star Wars _ for all of you in podcast land. You should know what that is. Star Wars _CC, which stands for Star Wars Card
Collector.
collector.
Got it.
I think this is what they said. I think since they're introducing characters that we know will die throughout the movie, some people feel like it won't be exciting. So this is a little bit what they were talking about with Tampa Movie Guide, but it's just not going to be an exciting movie. We don't have that surprise factor when it comes to movies nowadays. Spoilers are out before the movie, and we pretty much know things beforehand. Samuel, what do you think about that idea?
Yeah, I mean, podcasts wouldn't exist unless we got information beforehand. This stuff wouldn't happen.
We don't talk spoilers beforehand.
No, but I'm not... I mean, we need to know stuff before a movie for us to be able to talk about it, you know? Rumors, theories, you know, stuff like that. So I feel like that does definitely change the movie-going experience, especially when it comes to fandom movies. A lot of fans, us to an extent, but not as much as some fans, will try to get as much information as they can before a movie. They will dig as deep as they can to get anything. And then they post it out there for everyone to see.
Yes, they do.
And it spoils it for people who maybe wanted to go spoiler-free or were thinking about seeing the movie. Then they see it, or they see the spoiler, and there's no point. So that does change things. Also, if you know anything about the Star Wars timeline for this movie, you know that Val, Beckett, Kira...
You're assuming that Val, Beckett, Kira, Rio,
L3...
They're not in existence in A New Hope. They're not in existence in the original trilogy. So you just have to make the assumption that they're not going to survive the movie. Mm-hmm. You also know Han and Lando and Chewie and the Millennium Falcon. They're going to be there in the original trilogy. Right. So you have to have them survive. So I think that's what maybe Star Wars Card Collector is talking about. There's not a lot of surprise on that.
I think that's fair.
Although, if I'm not mistaken... I think there were some pretty big spoilers.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah.
One particularly at the end that we want to talk about. So
that was a good segue.
That was a great segue. But let's see. Am I supposed to be doing a plug there? I'm completely off my game at this
point. No, you're good.
Do I have a plug at the end of the podcast poll of the week?
No, you're good.
All right, so we're not talking Patreon right now?
No, not yet.
I mean, because we love our Patreon supporters, and it would be awesome if we had more. Because it would help us do more podcast things, more video things. It would help us to set up some amazing things as Star Wars. Oh, we're not talking about Star Wars Celebration.
Wait, hold that back.
All right, so maybe we should just move to the next topic on that. So if you're like us, if you're listening to this podcast and you're big Star Wars fans, then you probably giggled like a little schoolgirl when you heard Sam Witwer's voice. Begin to speak in Solo, A Star Wars Story, because we're Clone Wars and Rebels fans. We knew Maul was alive at this point in the storyline, but with all the Crimson Dawn stuff, we didn't expect to connect him with that, and we may need to reevaluate a little bit what he's been doing on Dathomir before Star Wars Rebels. So, what in the galaxy has he been up to? Good lightsaber, Darth Maul. Works out.
That's more of a Jedi lightsaber.
That's okay.
That's a green one.
Yeah, a green one? Yeah. All right, just go ahead and say it.
No,
I'm talk about your lightsaber.
I was going to brag on my sense of being able to hear stuff and connect things. But I can go with the lightsaber, too. We both have cool green-looking lightsabers.
Yeah, you got a new lightsaber.
Yeah, I know. I'm very happy.
You taking it to Celebration? Oh, we're not talking about Celebration.
Wait, hold on.
All right, so let's walk through a little bit. For those people that are listening to the podcast that may be a little bit fuzzy on their Darth Maul storyline. Let's walk through that a little bit, because you guys spent some time. We all watched a little bit of a video today just to kind of refresh our memories on it. Let's talk about what happened before The Phantom Menace. So that's an interesting storyline that's only really explored in comic books and things like that. So I guess, do you guys remember much about what happens to him and how he sort of... BB-8, you remember? Go ahead. Share a little bit about Darth Maul's backstory before The Phantom Menace.
Well, he grows up on Dathomir as Mother Talzma's...
Talzin.
I can never get her name right. It's just so weird. Son. And I find that a little weird because we never thought about
that. So he's a Knight's son.
He's a Knight's
brother. That's what they call it. Knight brothers. So they have the Knight Sisters, which the Knight Sisters are like the dominant gender on Dathomir.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Mothershausen. And he's a knight brother. Okay.
So and that, so later on, Sidious, Sheev Palpatine comes and captures Darth Maul.
Hold on, Samuel Lahett wants to insert something.
I thought that it was the Emperor comes to recruit Mother Talzin, recruit with air quotes here.
To be like his apprentice.
Yeah, like a
which is Vader. Bizarre. I don't remember that from the Clone Wars.
Yeah, and then he sensed that Maul was really strong with the dark side, right? So he like, didn't he take him?
I think he, mm-hmm. he kidnapped him.
Right?
Okay, yeah. so go back to you, BB Nate. So he kidnaps Maul.
He kidnaps Maul.
Betrays Talzin.
Yes, yeah. Betrays Talzin and just trains him. And then trains him for all the years. We don't know how long it was from that to Phantom Menace. But then he has Force visions because he's so strong in the dark side that he starts hearing the screams of dying people.
So I think you're a little hesitant. So he takes him to
Malachor, yeah. Where we see him in Rebels. He takes him to Malachor, and where there was this huge battle with the Jedi.
Old Republic.
Yeah.
Massive battle between the Jedi and the Sith. It's like the stuff of Old Republic dreams is this battle. Right.
Right. So the Emperor then forces Maul to breathe in the ashes of the dead Sith.
Whew.
Really weird.
Weird.
So then he starts to have these super strong Force visions. And he begins to feel every cut and stab and death of all the Sith that died from the Jedi.
That's not how the Force works.
Apparently it does. It does. If it's a Darksider, maybe.
Yeah, so he begins. So he feels that. So that fuels his rage against the Jedi.
Bam.
Yeah, I know. It was intense.
Yeah.
I was watching the video and they showed the pictures of it. I'm like, dang, it's intense. This is a little freaking me out here. Okay. Yeah, then the next thing we see him is he's in Phantom Menace, right?
Yeah, so I guess there's also that moment where he's he tries to take on, he wants to kill the first Jedi.
Yeah.
So he, goes and he tries to, he works with the bounty hunters, I think with
Orr Singh and Cad Bane,
which is really cool. Uh-huh. Especially as you tie in Orr Singh, that's also mentioned in Solo. But anyway, Orr Singh and Cad Bane... they kidnap this Jedi. Is she a Padawan or a Master?
It's a Padawan.
They kidnap a Padawan, and he ends up getting into a... They have to work together because of something that happens. Because
the bounty hunters that they stole him from, or the crime lords that they stole him from.
Yeah, crime syndicate. So even in the beginning, before we get to the Phantom Menace, he's working with the criminal underworld.
Already, yeah.
Already in this point. I think that's an important element to think about as we think about Darth Maul. He's got this connection to the criminal underworld. And so he kidnapped... They have to go and work together to escape this. And then they confront each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've thought about this, guys, but...
I try not to think. It hurts a lot of the time.
Okay. Yeah, that explains a lot. Darth Maul's the first Sith to kill a Jedi in 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
Gives him a bit of a reputation.
He does. I mean, he's a bad dude.
Forced to be reckoned with.
Yeah, which is cool.
I don't think we think of him.
Which
like
is
that.
Cool. I'm glad we get that backstory. I'm glad we know that now. Because when you get to the Phantom... Okay, what you're looking funny. Okay, anyway, I'm going to keep going. So when you get to the Phantom Menace, he's awesome in that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a lot of fun.
And then, you know, the fun's...
And then what happens to him in the Phantom Menace? Obviously, he reveals himself... he battles, he kills Qui-Gon,
and then
he gets into a confrontation with Padawan Obi-Wan Kenobi. Uh-huh. He's still a Padawan learner at this point.
And
what does he do, BB-8?
And he dies. He cuts Darth Maul in half, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, but he doesn't die.
He doesn't.
How does he survive, BB-8?
He grabs onto an air vent while he's falling down the whole pit, and then he gets into a trash...
Trash chute,
and then he gets flown over to, I forget the planet's name.
It's like something minor. It's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. Really,
it's just a junk planet, basically.
Yeah, it's a junk planet, and so he makes mechanical legs.
Well, first off, while he's climbing through the air vents, he's using the dark side to just give him the will to live, to keep him alive.
He's he's basically sustaining his life through hatred.
Basically.
And so that goes back to what we talked about earlier. Don't be that dude. All right? If you're a Star Wars fan, don't be Darth Maul. Okay? Anyway. So that's where we get to the Clone Wars.
Yes, we get to he goes insane, and he's literally
I think it was 12 years?
No. It's only like 4 or 5. Oh, no. Wait, because Anakin's a kid.
Yeah. So it's at least like...
It's like 13, 14 years.
Yeah. And he's gone insane. He's got these like robotic mechanical spider legs thing. Weird. It's really weird.
And so...
So what did you guys think the first time you saw that Darth Maul was alive? BB-8, what was your thoughts on that?
For some reason, I wasn't surprised. I think it's because I already knew for some reason.
Yeah, we knew it because we played Star Wars Card Trader.
Oh, yeah.
For a while.
That's true.
And we saw the pictures of him with the robo legs or whatever.
So
it kind of spoiled it a little bit.
Which is almost why we started to try to watch some of the TV series that we hadn't been
into. Because
we wanted to find out a little bit about that. So.
Yeah.
And then Rebels, too.
Yes. But. So then we get into the Clone Wars, and then we get to the Savageo Press. It's really the main part where it all starts. Savageo Press, of course, gets Count Dooku, betrays Asajj. Goes on to Dathomir trying to find a new apprentice so he can throw over Palpatine and then be the main Sith. And so he goes and trains and tries to get people while Asajj.
Okay, so who's Savageo Press? So Samuel, you gotta explain who Savage is.
Darth Maul's brother.
Yeah, and he's being created as a Padawan to Count Dooku.
He's also a bit of a traitor.
An apprentice to Count Dooku. Yeah, and Asajj is a Night Sister. And so, I mean, gosh, the stuff on Dathomir is like really big at this moment in the Star Wars timeline at this point.
So then Savageo Press gets chosen by Count Dooku and starts getting trained by Count Dooku after Mother Talzma.
Talzin.
I always thought it had an M.
It may be Talzim.
No, I think it's Talzin. Anyway, come on.
But he gets a strength buff. And it gets like really...
He gets an upgrade.
Like, if you remember Captain America, the first
Avengers. Basically, it feels like that, but with weird magic powers. Weird
magic powers. That's how it kind of turns out. And so he gets trained, and then it's just going all wrong. And then Asajj uses Savage to take over Count Dooku. But it doesn't really
work. To overtake him.
Yeah. And then Savage is kind of done with Count Dooku and Asajj. And so he starts taking on both of them at the same time. And he wins, which is really cool.
Cool.
And then he goes and starts to search out his brother, Darth Maul. And then
So Mother Talzin, we got to move this thought. So Samuel, we got to get going because we're going to spend the entire time talking about what happened before Solo or before Clone Wars. We got to figure this out. This is all important because we need to know he's alive. So Darth Maul is alive at this point, and he's survived on hate, and he's brought back sort of to sanity by Mother Talzin.
He gets new
magic legs that are still not the legs he has later on in the Clone Wars, but it's like all confusing. Anyway, he gets these legs, and then Savage and Maul like start coming after Kenobi at this point. They start going off and they're like pursuing Kenobi, but Maul wants his revenge. And this is like where this Kenobi thing starts going, which I think is important because Maul's storyline has always been tied to Kenobi. And up to this point in Lucasfilm, or in the Star Wars timeline, before he was inserted into this Solo movie, you would have never associated anything to do with Maul and Solo. You're only associating Maul with Kenobi. He's killed by Kenobi, or he's cut in half by Kenobi. He's obsessed with revenge against Kenobi, so much that he kills, like, Kenobi's shouldn't have a love interest, but has a love interest. Duchess Satine of Mandalore kills her. And, I mean, there's this revenge thing that's going on. This goes on for a long time. At the end, so Samuel, What? How does the Clone Wars end with Darth Maul? Do you remember?
Basically, long story short, the Emperor confronts Darth Maul on Mandalore, and he gets ticked off because he sees Savage as an apprentice, and there's only supposed to be two. So the Emperor then begins to fight them both, kills Savage, very reminiscent of how Maul killed Qui-Gon in front of Obi-Wan. Like, you watch it, it looks very, very similar. Yeah. Then he begins to, like, torture and almost kill Maul. And then he doesn't kill him and says that I have another use for you, and that's the last thing we see of him.
Okay, so there's a very big part we miss. First of all, he hired a pirate clan, and the pirate clan started to turned against him, and then he went...
That's the Black Sun, right?
Yes. No, yeah. It was a pirate clan where Hondo... Hondo actually...
Oh, he worked with Hondo. Yes. And then Hondo turns and betrays him, which is classic Hondo.
Yes.
Hondo betrays everybody. The only person that doesn't ever get upset about that is Ezra, and that's why they're close in
three levels. Then he goes with the Black Sun, and then...
Pike Syndicate.
The Shadow Collective was made.
He creates the Shadow Collective. Yeah. Which is an underworld crime syndicate.
Uh-huh. Yes, and the same thought went through my head, and then he rules Mandalore and kills...
Yeah, he takes over, gets the Black Saber, the Dark Saber, and all that kind of stuff.
And then Clone Wars ends with Maul
being kept alive for some reason. Well, I mean, the last thing we see of Maul till Rebels, or till Solo, excuse me.
And yeah, I think we're missing some storyline in there. There's some Grievous stuff and some Count Dooku stuff.
They have all that.
But let's just leave it there. I think it's important. So, go ahead, BBD.
Okay, so with the Shadow Collective, I think I have an idea. Maybe Crimson Dawn, the Shadow Collective, has turned from the Shadow Collective to Crimson Dawn. Because you hear, what is his name? It's escaping me.
Dryden Vos, okay.
Say that they have a fragile alliance with the Pikes. And you already know that Darth Maul has already made an alliance with the Pikes in the Shadow Collective.
Yeah, I think
so. And you know that...
But if we go back to the Ahsoka book, Maul is basically defeated by Ahsoka. And his Shadow Collective is defeated by Ahsoka in the book.
Oh, that's right.
And he's captured by Ahsoka, and he escapes from...
With the help from the...
Order 66.
Yeah, Order 66 happens, and the soldiers start turning against the Jedi, and it just starts being crazy. And Rex and some of the others that are part of that group that are in Rebels, they had already removed their control chips and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they help Ahsoka get off the island, off of Mandalore, and that's how that part of it ends. But Maul doesn't have a crime syndicate anymore. The Shadow Collective has been destroyed at this point.
Right.
And then the next time, until the Solo movie came out, that we see him is he's on Malachor trying to get this Sith weaponry in order to defeat the Emperor.
Yeah.
And Darth Vader.
Which, if you know what its design is, it's basically a Death Star.
Really?
Yeah, it's powered by a Kyber crystal.
Well, that's bizarre.
So it's almost just like a little triangle Death Star on a planet.
That's bizarre.
That was kind of crazy. Anyway.
So yeah, so that's where we thought everything kind of picked back up with Darth Maul. Until we're sitting there on the third row of the movie theater on May 24th with, your birthday party. And all of a sudden we see this hologram and you see this metal foot. And then you hear Sam Witwer's voice start.
And we
all start screaming and yelling. Basically. And just standing up and cheering. And it was like craziness.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it was pretty close. We were pretty...
I was standing up on the inside. I was screaming on the inside.
Internally, we were convulsing and freaking out.
I was freaking out a lot.
It was a lot of fun.
So, Samuel the Hutt.
Yeah.
How did Maul get from barely escaping with his life from Ahsoka to the leadership of Crimson Dawn, which in Solo is a central crime syndicate that is feared throughout the galaxy?
No idea. We don't know. It's not been explored as to how he became part of Crimson Dawn, which I'm certain they're going to release some comic series or book or something, because we need to know this. This is pretty crucial. My best guess is the Emperor had a use for him, which was to And I think you said something like this, but he needed control of the crime syndicates to be able to take control of the galaxy, right? Because if he doesn't have control of the crime syndicates, then he really won't have much control at all. Especially on backwater worlds like Tatooine, where the crime syndicate really is the
government. The underworld runs Tatooine. Yeah.
So he needs to be able to run the underworld. So I think that he recruited Maul because he's had lots of previous experience with crime syndicates to build his own crime syndicate to be able to help take control of the underworld.
Nate, what do you think about what's been going on?
Well, I really don't know. The thing that keeps going back is Dryden saying fragile alliance with the Pikes. I think it's fragile because it was once broken with Ahsoka, and I don't think anybody trusts him, and so he formed the Shadow Collective again, but called it Crimson Dawn. So, let's say Ahsoka wouldn't go back, or somebody wouldn't know about the Shadow Collective being formed again. They called it Crimson Dawn because all, really, of the main underworld people have gone into that Crimson Dawn and have been having alliances with it. So we hear about the Pikes and we hear about everything like that, and it's fragile on the fact that Darth Maul is running it. And we all know that Crimson Dawn, the main thing with Kira, is the whole thing. Dryden Voss was the ruler, the right-hand man of Darth Maul, but then he dies and then it's kind of moved over to Kira, is what it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely seems like that. In fact, I've got the dialogue between Kira and Maul that we see in Solo. So let me read this and we can talk it through a little bit. So Kira activates the holo projector and Maul addresses her and says yes, like he's asking her a question. Kira says, "I regret to inform you that Dryden Voss is dead, murdered by the thief he hired to steal the coaxium shipment. His friend, Tobias Beckett." What do you think about that, BB Nate?
I think that she was, first of all, we all know that Kira actually killed him.
Yeah, she's lying.
She's lying. To protect her.
We'll go back to this one.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Absolutely. True. Yep.
Now, Grumpy Luke is right.
Yeah, Grumpy Luke was right this time. Exactly.
Okay. But Kira, we know that she actually killed him. But she was telling the truth for most of that sentence. Thief, he hired to steal it.
She defines that thief as his friend Tobias Beckett.
Right. Yes.
And Beckett, first of all, Dryden Voss didn't get killed by Beckett. Dryden Voss didn't get killed by any thief. Dryden Voss got killed by Kira on that. So I thought that was interesting. Then we go on, Maul says, "Is this so? Where is the shipment now?" And Kira responds, "Gone. Beckett took it. Slaughtered the others. I alone survived." What do you think about that part of it? What is she not telling Samuel Hutt? What is she not telling Maul when she says, "Beckett took it. Slaughtered the others. I alone survived"? What is she not telling him? Who is she not telling him about?
Solo.
Yeah.
This whole time, she's not said anything about Solo.
She hasn't mentioned Solo one time. In this entire process, do you think that she's still in love with Solo, Samuel Hutt?
You know, I don't know if she's in love with him, but I think she's still trying to protect him. I think that she knows that Han will never look at her the same way. So she's not really going to be able to love
him. Which is what she says in the cave room. If you knew what I'd done, you'd never look at me the same way.
Right. So I don't think that she loves him anymore. She just is more trying to protect him.
What do you think, BB Nate? Now, BB Nate, you didn't want Han and Kira to have a love relationship.
Yeah.
Because you wanted Leia to be the first one, right?
Yeah.
First love relationship.
But
didn't happen,
did it? Didn't happen, no.
Okay.
But I really do think that Kira still loves Han. But she knows she has to leave because then she'd have to have a huge secret behind Darth Maul's back. And she already knew that she was going to
run away from Darth Maul. Really.
No, you can't. And so she couldn't hide Han. And then if Kira does something wrong with Han, then he would probably head for Han. He would probably kill Han, and then that would make her feel bad. And so, yes, she is trying to protect him.
I think she's absolutely still in love with Han. And so, I just think that she's she feels completely trapped with Maul, and she can't. She knows she's never going to get out of Crimson Dawn. She's never getting away with this, and so she's got to do everything she can to protect Han. And so that's what she's doing here. So then it's interesting because that's when Maul says one man couldn't have done this alone. Mm-hmm. So what do you think he means by that? What do you mean one man? What is it that he couldn't have done alone? Steal the coaxium? Kill Dryden Vos?
Yes, I think. He suspects that there's more to this that she's not telling him.
I think so too. What do you think, BB-8?
I think Dryden Vos had a little meetup with Mother Talzin.
Talzin was dead.
Talzin's dead at this point.
Or at least had something with the knight.
Why do you say that? Why do you think that?
Because you saw he was like a normal human being. And he looked exactly like it. We didn't think he would be an alien, but every time he did get angry, his scars started to flare up. That's not something normally that would happen.
I don't know.
He would start to get red, veins would start to show, and his eyes would get bloodshot. And so that's very weird for something normal like that to happen. So,
I think that they're listing him as being near human, though. And so they haven't called him human. He's a non-human character that looks like a human. And so that's what they've just defined him as. So I think that's just maybe his species at this point. But interesting. One man couldn't have done it alone. I think that she's looking at, or Maul suspects, like you said, Samuel had. I think he suspects something is going on. So mm-hmm. Kira then tries to deflect. I wasn't there, but if I had been, perhaps I could have saved him. And then Maul chuckles, according to the script, and what he does in there. He giggles a little bit. Bring the ship and come to me on Dathomir, and you and I will then decide what to do about Traitor Beckett and his accomplices. So he's already made the decision that Beckett had accomplices with it. Kira says, I'm on my way. And then Maul responds with, Kira, you and I will be working much more closely from now on. What do you think they're going to be doing together? How's this go on?
She's probably going to be the right hand of Crimson Dawn. The leader, really, because really nobody knows about Darth Maul. So.
Yeah, I think she's going to look like the face of Crimson Dawn going forward. Because Dragon Boss is dead and Maul isn't revealing himself to anybody. Do you think that we're going to get another movie that's going to have Maul and Kira in it?
No. I think...
Sammy, you don't.
No, I don't think that's...
So how are they going to continue this? They obviously are setting something up.
Right. I don't think it's big enough for a movie. A comic series or a book series. That I could see.
Okay, what about you, BB-8?
I highly disagree. People have been asking for it for such a long time, a Darth Maul anthology movie. That is something...
I haven't heard anybody ask for a Darth Maul anthology.
I have.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely have.
A few people have.
Yeah, a few people have. And with the way that they have been setting it up, with the whole Darth Maul still being alive, and we haven't really known about him for the Malachor thing, and so we don't really know too much. I think we'll see a follow-up movie after Solo, but it'll be Maul Star Wars story. I think that it would do really good because he's a vague character. He's like a Boba Fett. He's a very vague character.
Well, speaking of Boba Fett, I think you're wrong. Okay. One thing we know is that Darth Maul is tied to the criminal underworld. Kira's tied to Maul. And they made it very clear at the end of this scene that I think they're making it clear that there's more to come with Kira and Maul.
Yeah.
I think that this is a major plot character being revealed for a Boba Fett anthology movie. And I think you're going to find something to do with the criminal underworld, the Bounty Hunter Guild, that kind of stuff, going against Crimson Dawn, and Kira and Maul and Boba Fett being tied together. You probably end up somewhere on Tatooine throughout the process, because obviously we know Jabba the Hutt's there,
right.
which Boba Fett's loyal to Jabba the Hutt in the trilogy, in the original trilogy. So maybe, and Solo... We end with Han going to
Tatooine.
Tatooine.
Right.
We have Beckett that was going to Tatooine. They're setting up Tatooine. They're setting up Jabba the Hutt, big time gangster, putting together a crew on that. So they're teasing Jabba on that. Maybe part of that crew that he's putting together is Boba Fett. There's a history between Boba Fett and Han Solo when we get to the Empire Strikes Back. Or, no, I think it's even mentioned in The New Hope. He mentions Boba Fett. At that point, maybe not, because because he wasn't created to the holiday special, which is part of Star Wars that we just don't talk about on the show. But anyway,
but he was in the special editions. Did they?
Yeah, he was. But that's my point. I don't think that was part of that. He was just in the background with Jabba. Anyway, I think that we see a Boba Fett anthology movie that also brings in front and center Darth Maul and Kira. Maybe has a little bit of Han Solo character in it at some point, but I doubt it. And I see it leading to some type of a big reveal, very Marvel-esque. That's what seems to be happening now at the end of that, which connects to Kenobi on Tatooine for them to then do a Kenobi movie. That's what I'm predicting. And that's why right at the same time that they started saying that, or that the Solo movie was coming to the theaters the same week, almost the same day, all of a sudden, all this Boba Fett movie, James Mangold's getting ready to direct it. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but all that stuff came out at the same time. I think that's what we see. A Boba Fett movie where it's Boba Fett and his side of the crime underworld against Darth Maul and Kira on the other side.
Don't know.
I know you don't know.
I know.
They haven't confirmed this
yet. No one knows, yes. But I think I think Darth Maul and Kira may work with Jabba the Hutt and do a huge...
No, I think they're against Jabba the Hutt.
Well, that would make sense.
Yes, it would.
Because there's a fragile alliance with the Pikes.
He's not a Pike, he's a Hutt.
I know. I know he's a Hutt. But, because his name is Jabba the Hutt. But, I know this is just going along with my theory, which is probably on a grain of rice. But, he would, in the Shire Collective, he is in alliance with the Hutts.
Yeah, but that alliance is broken. I think that's where we come down.
Yeah.
I think that the Crimson Dawn is in a fragile alliance with the Pikes. But I don't think that this is the Crimson Dawn is as powerful as the Shadow Collective.
No.
And I think that they're going to go up against the Hutts. And we're going to see that in a Boba Fett movie. What do you think about that?
I like that idea.
Well, you're a big Boba Fett guy. So.
Right. So anything with Boba Fett's good.
And I think that's where we get Kenobi out of it, too. That's what
that sounds even cooler.
All right. Let's move on to the next topic since we spent almost like 45 minutes on that one. I guess before we do that, we'll give ourselves a chance to breathe and let BB Nate recorded tell you how to become a Patreon supporter of Tatooine Sons.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is BB Nate. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. It's so awesome to think that people enjoy what we do so much that they financially support us so we can do it. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/tatooinesons and watch our welcome videos so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right, so a week ago we hadn't even decided if we were going to make it to, or at least try to make it to Celebration 2019. Chicago in April, not really something that I look forward to. It's good. Also would cost quite a few credits, to use Star Wars language, to get there and to stay in hotels and all that. See, I think we were disappointed that it wasn't in Anaheim, where we thought we could drive an hour and be there.
I saw a meme, and it was Obi-Wan, and it said, you know, it was right after the release that it was Chicago, and it said, it was as if millions of voices in Orlando and Anaheim cried out in silence.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it gave us a chance. I mean, we sort of had to take a step back and wonder what was happening. Yeah. But then we thought, it's Star Wars Celebration, and we decided to go. So we bought our tickets. What are you guys most looking forward to at Star Wars Celebration? I'm going to have Sam Lillahut go first. What are you most looking forward to?
All of it. I mean, I know that that's a really tacky, cheap tacky answer, but it's just everything about it is exciting. The atmosphere, the waiting in lines with fans, and it'll be different this time because we know people going into it. You know, we'll know what to expect. We'll have people to connect with while we're there. Then there's the show floor, for whatever reason, I loved the show floor. That was probably my favorite thing the whole time. The panels were cool, don't get me wrong, but I just think I liked the show floor more than anything because it was just pure Star Wars fandom on display all day. I feel like that was a big part. And then, you know, Nate and I were in our costumes. We're not going to go into the story, but if you know the story, then, you know, we're walking around the show floor in all of our costumes, and people are like, oh, cool, can we get pictures with you?
Yeah, that was fun.
I'm just so excited, but I think I'm also really
excited. So it's just an overall excitement for the whole thing. What about you, BB Nate? What are you looking forward to the most?
I don't know. It was when I was there, I didn't. No, I know this may sound weird, but I didn't enjoy anything. And then when I got back, I started to recollect, like, think about the stuff, and I'm like, wait, that was really fun. And I really enjoyed that type of stuff. And I was like, the whole day, I remembered, I was actually really happy during that. And I think it was just because
I was just exhausted.
Exhausted, so. For one.
We were staying up all night.
It was the thing of exhaustion mixed with the adrenaline. And it was kind of just going between.
Well, and you're an introvert. Sam's not so much of an introvert. You are a full-on introvert. So when you're there with, you know, tens of thousands of people and crammed in lines all day, and you know, it's just it can be overwhelming with it. And you didn't know what to expect. We had never been to a con, let alone Star Wars Celebration before. We were clueless as to what to expect. We hadn't gotten into podcasting or YouTube or anything like that as far as doing anything.
I mean, we weren't
on, like, part of the Star Wars Twitterverse or anything like that. Okay. So we went in, just the three of us, no clue what we were going to be doing down there.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Yeah. No idea what we were doing.
And so we didn't even know when, like, should we line up ahead of time for the panels? You know, if we wanted to go to the 40th anniversary panel, do we need to get there at 7 in the morning? And I thought, well, maybe we should get there a little earlier. So we got there at 5.
Yeah.
And people had been there all night sleeping. And so we had no idea what we were in for with it. And so I think the first day we had, it was very overwhelming the first day. By the end, I think we figured out what we were doing with it. But there's an element for this year's celebration that I'm looking forward to a lot. And that is the fans.
Yeah.
And the relation. And then when I say the fans, I'm not talking about our fans. I'm not arrogant enough to think that we have fans by any means.
No.
But I'm saying the other Star Wars fans and how we now have built some relationships through Twitter and through our podcast and such with Neil Lowry, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and with the guys from the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network and some other things like that. I mean, this weekend we're going to be hanging out for a couple of hours with Alex and Molly from Star Wars Explained up in LA. And so when we go to Celebration in Chicago, they're going to be there. And we'll see people we've met, see people we'll know. And
cool.
So instead of being so focused on, do we have to get there at 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, stay in line all the time in order to get into panels, we'll try to get into as many of the panels as possible. But even if that's not the case, we get to hang out with people and do podcasts with the Commonwealth and all that.
It's going to be a way more different experience.
It's going to be very different.
I think it's going to be more relaxed. We're going to know what we're doing, so we're not going to be freaking out the whole time. You know, we're going to be able to meet people, which I'm so excited to meet, like our Patreon supporters and other podcasters, because we'll know people at this moment.
Yeah.
Last time we were just like,
just winging
it was just
the
us
whole
three.
Time. And it was there that we got the idea to start doing something like this when Dominic from Star Wars Underworld talked with you a little bit about podcasting and stuff.
That was cool.
And that's what inspired us to get into do this. BB Nate, you were going to say?
I really think we now know, really, really know what we were doing. We were going in, and it was a bad year to do it. It was fun. It was really fun, and that's what made us want to
do
it.
Why was it a bad year, dude?
It was Disney's first year. Really, first big Star Wars Celebration.
No.
They had done a few since then.
But we figured out that it was like everything was going wrong.
Yeah, no, I think it was just a combination of just some really bad planning on Reed Pop. And I'm not trying to, we're not going to go down that path. Reed Pop is the company that they contract to put these on. It felt like it was out of control. It felt like the volunteers and the staff there were really not as informed as they needed to be on how to handle certain situations. The first day, and it's been well documented. We're not the only ones. We're our experience compared to what some people that got stayed all night for the last Jedi, for the 40 years of Star Wars panel that got were supposed to have seats in the main floor that some other line got put in front of them and they lost their seats and they'd been there all night. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happened. Here's what I think is really intriguing about what's happened in the last week. Tickets just went on sale on Monday. That's just like 5 days ago. They were sold out. I think, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Yesterday. The five-day passes, both adults and children, were sold out. So that, to me, that didn't happen in 2017.
It took 8 months.
2017, it was like 3-4 months before the 4-day pass. It was only 4 days then. The 4-day passes were sold out. So that, to me, would indicate either there's a lot more interest in Celebration this year, which I don't think is the case. That was the 40th anniversary Celebration.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it can increase that much in a year just to go from a few months getting it sold out
to a few days.
Yeah.
So I think that what that tells me is, or what I'm putting my hope in, Star Wars is all about hope, so I'll put my hope in, is that they're selling fewer tickets to this event this year. That they would rather make a little less money. I know people don't think that with Disney.
What?
I know. What? But maybe they would really rather make just a little bit less money and have a slam dunk experience for everybody that goes, so that they keep wanting to come back every year and sell less tickets so that we're not so cramped. Plus, my understanding is that the convention center there at McCormick Place or whatever in Chicago is one of, if not the largest convention center in the United States. The show floor or the main exhibit room, the main meeting room, is 4 times larger than the main hall, this is where the Celebration stage was in Orlando.
Really?
That tells me that they want the fans, all of them, as many as possible at least, to get into the main exhibits every time. Now, here's what's exciting. I don't know if you guys have quite let this sink in. It's not a 40 years of Celebration this year. It's like 42. Who cares, right? That's not an anniversary. But we will be getting the first teaser for Episode 9. At this.
Wait, seriously?
No, absolutely. Like they're going to follow the same pattern they did with The Last Jedi. We're going to get that.
So there's maybe able to get into Star Wars Resistance. They may have a Star Wars Resistance panel.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Like they did Star Wars Rebels panel with Dave Filoni.
And
they could.
We could do that too.
Well, they're going to have. Yeah, they'll have already had a full season by then, or almost a full season.
Maybe they'll show the first episode.
Can't whisper. The first episode will be airing this fall.
I knew that.
Yeah, okay. Whispering on a podcast is generally bad form. Okay. Any autographs you guys want? You got Jeremy Bullock last time, Samuel Lahud, who played Boba Fett.
I mean,
you got
Brian Herring,
who did BB-8, but we found out later he also did
Porgs.
Turbis!
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Autographs do you want?
Yeah, you
can get any. What autograph do I want?
I don't think Harrison Ford did autographs last time. So.
No, he didn't do autographs.
What if
I don't think
Aaron
he'll be
Wright,
there
though?
This year. That's the only time he's ever been.
Would Alden Ehrenreich be good?
I would love Alden Ehrenreich on something like a Bring Our Solo poster and get Alden Ehrenreich on that. That would be, yeah. just because I love that movie and it's Han Solo. I would love to bring our Last Jedi posters and get Mark Hamill's autograph. On that. So we would have Mark Hamill and Rian Johnson on a Last Jedi poster.
Okay, realistically, what autographs would you like?
I'm thinking I want to figure out how to make that happen right now. I'm sitting here right now like...
Well, why don't we talk?
So here's the deal. If you love family-friendly podcasts and you want to help a dad and his sons fulfill a dream, mostly a dad, fulfill a dream... of getting his Last Jedi poster that was from Celebration 2017, which is an exclusive limited edition poster that's already signed by Rian Johnson. If you would like to help him fulfill his dream of paying, I think, $200 and some or more to get Mark Hamill's autograph as Luke Skywalker on it, and maybe, I don't know, it would be awesome if we could get, I don't know, Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley.
Keep dreaming.
All of them on that. If you want to help us, Samuel Lahut is going to tell you how you can do that.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Samuel Lahut. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast.
BB Nate and I love talking about Star Wars with our dad, and we couldn't do it without the faithful support of our friends on Patreon. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome video so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right, so here's our what if segment. So the MacGuffin. You guys know what a MacGuffin is in the movie?
No idea.
I put that in there just because I wanted to have a dad moment.
Yeah.
Literally, I thought this. A MacGuffin is a plot device in a story or in a movie that's pastry. Designed. No, that's a muffin.
MacGuffin.
Yeah. Do you know the Muffin Man, not the MacGuffin Man? Okay. Yeah, you don't know that. Do you know the Muffin Man? The muffin. Didn't I sing that one?
You keep saying muffin. I don't hear anything else.
MacGuffin. Okay. Muffin. The MacGuffin
muffin.
In Solo Story. So a MacGuffin is a plot device in the story that we don't really have a lot of background as to why it's happening or anything like that. But it's designed to propel your characters forward for the main portion of the story. So the MacGuffin in Solo A Star Wars Story is when Han and Chewie partner with Beckett and his crew to get the coaxium off of Vandor 1.
Right.
Of course, because it's a MacGuffin, they fail. And this is what propels Han into the rest of the story. But we're going to what if this today. And I'm going to start with... Who wants to go first? Samuel the Hutt's like, got that look. Samuel the Hutt wants to go first. Samuel the Hutt, what if Han and Chewie and Beckett, of course, got the... coaxium off of Vandor 1. They didn't have, the Cloud Riders didn't force them to have to drop the payload, ironically. Think about that. He dropped the payload like a Kessel or like the Spice. Anyway, what do you think would have happened in the rest of the story?
They would have gone, they would have taken the coaxium to Dryden, they would have gotten paid. I don't think Han would have met Kira. I think
so. Hold on. They're going to Dryden Vos. Yeah. They're going to get the big payoff, mm-hmm. right? So I see him still on the yacht with the crazy lady and the Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles singing. They're singing, and I still see him meeting Kira. You don't see that?
No, I think he gets in, gets the money, and gets out.
What do you, BB Nate, you agree with me?
Oh, I totally agree with you because Beckett still might want a drink.
I mean, his wife, girlfriend, companion are still did Val. Die. So.
Yeah, Val's dead.
But.
Yeah. It's an interesting. I think that he still meets Kira. Okay.
He meets Kira.
Beckett's lost his crew.
Yep.
What's going to happen next on that, BB Nate? What's he gonna do with Han and Chewie?
He's gonna let them go their separate paths.
You think they're going separate?
He's gonna go back to his planet and learn the Valcord.
Even though he's tone deaf.
So you think?
I think they go their separate ways.
You know that Val was named after the Valcord
from
that planet. You knew that, right?
Yeah, I figured out Valcord.
Okay. I think that that's always. Remember what she says. You're never gonna learn the Valcord. All that kind of stuff. Right. Even if they got paid. I think that was just something he said to her.
No, he said that at the end.
I think he just says it. I don't think he really means it. I think he's got an itch. He's got a scratch. And that's to be a scoundrel. And he's just gotten the biggest payoff of his lifetime. And he's going to...
retire.
I don't think he's going to retire. I think he's going to take Han and Chewie and they're going to be part of his crew. The question is, does Han and Chewie want to be part of the crew? Because what does Han's goal for getting the coaxium?
Get Kira.
To get a ship and go back to Corelli and get Kira.
Well, he's already got Kira.
So now in our version, he's got Kira.
He's got Kira. He's got Beckett. I think they join. They make their own little crew.
With Kira? Because mm-hmm. Kira can't go. She's branded. She's Crimson Dawn all the way through. She can't go anywhere. She'll never be free. So what is that going
to
do for
Han? Han's going to accept it.
What's that?
Han's going to have to accept
that. No, I think Han... Beckett and Han have differences, different opinions on that, just like they do in the movie. Han tries to figure out a way to save Kira. I think that it goes awry. Big word there.
Goes awry. Wow.
Yeah. You know what that one means? It's like,
Yeah. It's that homeschool education there.
Yeah, right. Woo! So it goes awry, and then Beckett comes in at the last moment to save the day, because I could just see him doing that. And then they kill Dryden, and this is going to end very similarly, but they try to kill Dryden. Kira isn't able to come because of Maul. Han and Beckett go off with Chewie, obviously. But Kira doesn't come, so Han gets all heartbroken about it, but it doesn't really matter anymore because he doesn't know where she is. And so basically they separate. Han, Chewie, and Beckett are off on whatever ship they get. I don't know if it'll be the Falcon. Oh, it won't be the Falcon.
No, it won't be the Falcon. He's not Matt Lando.
Yeah.
There's no reason to go to get Lando. So Han and the Lando. So they, Han Solo and Chewbacca don't have the Falcon.
Ouch.
That makes me very upset.
But they might get a VCX-100.
So do they get connected with the Ghost Crew?
No, I don't think so. He's not a rebel.
They go.
I think they go. Excuse me. Anyway, they go find Jabba. Because Beckett was saying, you know, I'm going to go. There's a big shot drink. Whatever. They go to Tatooine. They get hired by Jabba. But the question is are they in the cantina when...
Yes.
Yes. So all, but there's three of them.
No, I don't think that they're not there. I think he's got a mentor. That's helping him learn things. I don't think that Han has to drop his shipment. So he's not running from Jabba, and Han is not there in the cantina when Ben needs to find a ship.
So the overall impact of the story is, do they get to the Death Star?
I don't know. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
I don't think they'll get to the Death Star. Everything's messed up.
Whole storyline screwed up, huh?
Everything's messed up.
Guess that's
why he actually did the shipment right.
Yeah, I guess that's why we don't write Star Wars movies, huh?
Correct.
Because our version of this movie sucks.
Very much so.
Yeah, so. But thanks for listening.
we gave it a valiant effort.
Yeah. Not sure that went as well as I had hoped it would, but that's okay. All right, so I guess that pretty much does it for this week's podcast. Anything else you guys wanted to talk about?
Anything else?
Yeah. So, we told you last week about Neil Lowry's GoFundMe fundraiser for Celebration. And he got enough money to get a ticket, and he got a 5-day pass just before they sold out. So, Neil Lowry is going to Celebration.
Woo! So excited. So, here we go. For you.
Happy beeps.
Happy beeps, Neil. We are so pumped. Yeah. He is like Mr. Positivity. And if we started this show a little bit on a downer, we want to end the show on positivity. And that is Neil Lowry. He is Captain Positivity. He is the Jedi Master of Positivity. He's the Yoda of Star Wars Positivity on Twitter. Yeah. And it was his dream, and he wasn't sure he was going to be able to make it. But people banded together over the last week. He was able to get enough funds. He was able to get them awarded to him into his bank account in time and got his 5-day pass to Star Wars Celebration. Yay. And so now he's just continuing to raise funds. We encourage you guys to participate that to help cover his plane ticket because he's got a place to stay already in Chicago. Neil Lowry is going to be at Star Wars Celebration. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
Yay.
I'm excited.
I was really worried. Because I didn't think he was going to get the 5-day.
I know. When I found out that the tickets were sold out, which was, I guess, 2 days ago now, I was freaking out. And I was, like, messaging him on Twitter constantly. Did you get your ticket? And finally, I got the answer yesterday after he woke up. Because he's in London or in England. And that's not the same time zone. So, anyway. So, BB Nate, anything else you wanted to talk about?
Well, Bad Robot, J.J. Abrams' production company, might be making Star Wars video games.
Well... Yeah, now that was an interesting... When we talked about that before the show and just kind of were setting this up, you guys were a little bit puzzled that a movie production company might make video games.
Yeah, that's really not common.
Well, it's common enough in the Star Wars world because of Lucasfilm, LucasArts games, which were, you know, Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay.
Force and some of these other Force
Unleashed. Also, didn't Hasbro made games too, right? Like the Transformer video games? Those are actually pretty big for a while.
But Hasbro's not a movie production company.
And where am I going with this? I don't know. Ignore me. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, that was...
Shh.
I'm confused.
Okay. Ignore this.
All right. So mine is, there was a fan video that somebody put out where Carrie Poppins, you know, the scene in The Last Jedi where she's out in space and she's frozen, and normally she goes into the ship sort of elegantly floating through this through space into the ship. Well, what they did was they felt like this solved all the problems with The Last Jedi, which I think is silly. But anyway, this like rock track. I should do that again, shouldn't I? No, I shouldn't.
Please do that again. Someone clip that. Right. Someone clip that.
Yeah. So anyway, they she like that starts playing, and instead of her gently gliding into the ship, she like goes rocket fast into hyperspace, and the Holdo maneuvers is next. And so she goes through all the First Order ships, and she's like this
like
superhero ripping through these things as Leia.
That was your anything else?
I just thought it was an interesting video. It doesn't make a lot of sense, and I don't know if I like that idea, but that's it. So. All right.
Okay. This is a probably weird, time to end dysfunctional this episode. Podcast.
Yeah, we're going to end this right. episode. All right. I guess we'll talk about next week's podcast poll of the week.
Ready, aim, and fire!
All right. It's pretty simple. What did you think about Maul in Solo: A Star Wars Story? Did you love it? Love having him in there? Not sure where he fits in? Thought he was dead? Or thanks for the spoiler, if you see this on Twitter and you haven't seen this show. Or seen the movie yet. All right. I guess that's it. If you are not, we're asking for a special dispensation of fan loyalty to this week. If you have not gone on to iTunes, or especially if you're listening to us on Stitcher, we would appreciate it if you would go and give us a rating, a 5-star, of course, if you love what we do, and a review, and help us get the word out about this podcast. It would be greatly appreciated. Of course, comment on anything on Twitter and on our podcast about this as well. Share this. And then, again, we really are grateful to all of you that are Patreon supporters. We're truly touched by your generosity, that you guys would find this show important enough to spend a little bit of your hard-earned money, some of you a lot of your hard-earned money, in order to help us put this on every week. Thank you for that. If you do value family-friendly, positive Star Wars content, then we would ask you to consider becoming a Patreon supporter. You can go to patreon.com/TatooineSons, watch our welcome video, and you can learn all about it. I guess that'll do it for this week's podcast. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question till after I've done it.
We're smarter than this.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.